Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Welcome to the Raptors post-game podcast for Game 2. The Raptors have beaten the Wizards 130-119. I'm your host for the podcast, Zarar. Joining me is the usual host for all the podcasts. It's William Liu. Hey, man.
Hey, man. We change it up. It's more fresh this way.
Yeah. Hey. Speaking of fresh, what point in this game, through quarters 1-4, did you come the closest to shitting your pants?
You know what? It was right before DJ Mouse hit that three, because the Raptors had been, they came out of the second half kind of flat, and then it was just like, all right, they're going to turn on. They had like a little bitty, like mini spurts, but the Wizards just kept coming. John Wall just kept scoring, and, you know, it was, I think the lead was down to 7 points.
Five points.
And, you know, it was a broken possession. CJ Miles is just standing there with John Wall right on him, and CJ Miles pulls that three. Somehow he makes that three, and DeLon Wright gets a block, and all of a sudden the Raptors come back.
Yeah.
And they take this game assertively. What about you?
I think that was around the time, but I think it was the end of the third when the Wizards kind of crept in to within 10. And momentum was squarely on their side, and it looked like they were going to kind of complete the comeback or come pretty close to it. But the Raptors, you know, they bended, but they didn't break, kind of. And CJ Miles is a good example, because you know, he's our version of Ty Lawson.
Oh my God, Ty Lawson came back from China a different man. He found himself in China. This is I can't believe we only have 14 points. It felt like he scored whatever he wanted to. And also, I mean, man. Look, you know what's weird? Because this game was mostly stress-free. Like, in the first half, it was Raptors set, like, that franchise record for playoffs scoring with 44 points in the first quarter. We're dominating the Wizards by halftime. And everything was stress-free. Everyone was getting their jokes off about the Wizards. And then, bam, the Wizards came right back. But, you know.
Yeah, and
I like the way DeMar responded, I think.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the 37 points on efficient shooting and some huge buckets there in the third, fourth quarter when the Wizards were kind of knocking on the door. And let's talk about DeRozan for a bit. I mean, there's also the 3-for-6 from three, which were all like, maybe one of those threes was like, ah, man, what are you doing? Don't take that. But generally speaking, man, efficient from three and space the floor well. And just really, his jump shot was on today as well. And I don't think he took too many bad shots at all after 23 attempts.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, DeMar, I felt like early on in the game, he was just taking like a bunch of heat check jumpers. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it was hot. He just kept hitting jumpers. But like late in the game, that was most impressive to me, because he was getting guarded very tightly. And the Raptors very badly needed somebody to take control of the offense.
Yeah.
I think Serge Ibaka did a great job of, like, anchoring the defense and getting a couple of blocks and whatever. But someone needs to take charge of the offense. And that was DeMar. I mean, the toughest shots. I mean, you know, if he misses some of those, we're going to go back and we're going to kill them for going ISO. But, yeah. I mean, damn, the man made all these shots. He got to the free throw line as well.
Yeah, some big fouls.
10 points in the fourth quarter.
My favorite play for DeRozan today was when he came off that screen on the I think it was the left baseline or left corner and hit that two off Oubre Jr. I think he was stuck on the screen. That was a massive shots with a tight game, and I think he talked a little bit of trash after that too. But these are the, I mean, when you looked at him and Lowry in this game, Lowry had a poor shooting night, but 12 assists. I think the first half lead that we built up was in large part by Lowry's just pushing the ball up the court and kind of beating people down and fighting them for shots. But in a game of two halves, if Lowry takes the cake for the first one, DeRozan definitely does for the second. So especially in the fourth, where we rely, our offense was in a bit of a rut. The movement was down. Guys like Anunoby were missing maybe some static jumpers. Things weren't as crisp, and you needed one person to kind of step up and take over and pull a John Wall, if you will, and DeRozan did that in spades, man. So if you want to get into the three stars of the game, man, let's just hand out the first star right now with DeRozan.
Oh yeah, it's not close, really, because look, this is the sort of the nature of basketball. Like, yeah, if you get up big, like, the other team's gonna make a run at some point, and especially the other team has some pride, and the Wizards, if nothing else, they have a lot of pride. Like, they don't have a lot of shame, but they have a lot of pride. Yeah. And John Wall really played like that tonight. I mean, look, John Wall played well enough to win this game. It was more like Bradley Beal had probably one of the worst games I've ever seen, and this is after seeing a lot of really bad Raptors performances. But Bradley Beal had 9 points on 3 of 11 shooting. And he fouled a bunch of three-point shooters. He was awful. Martin Gortat was scoreless with 3 rebounds in 12 minutes. He was terrible. He's getting thoroughly outplayed by Jonas Valanciunas. But this game was still tight because the Raptors just kept giving up dribble penetration, and they couldn't stop guys like Ty Lawson and John Wall getting into the paint. That is a bit of a concern going forward, because obviously Beal and Gortat are going to rebound from like this terrible performance. You know, if the Raptors can't stop that dribble penetration, then it is a bit of an issue, especially now that Ty Lawson apparently is a struggle for us.
Yeah, and I want to get your take on this, man, because I thought JV had an amazing game. 8 for 11, 19 points, mm-hmm. 14 rebounds. And I felt Casey, because he had success with Bebe in the in game one, kind of almost followed a recipe to put him back in to game two, when in reality there wasn't necessarily a need for Bebe as much. And JV was in a great groove, controlling the boards, getting the rebounds, even providing some shot blocks. I think he had 2 shot blocks in the 23 minutes he played. I necessarily didn't see a reason to go to Bebe and just drop JV completely. Just because it worked in game one doesn't mean like that's the exact same thing you should do in game two. And do you have any rationale for that or no?
Well, I think Casey's always hesitant when the other team goes small. He doesn't want to go big in response with JV, especially when he's protecting a lead, which makes sense in the perspective of you don't want to, you know, give up a couple threes or whatever. But I honestly didn't agree with that decision today, because I think JV was really, really killing the Wizards every time they went small. Like, they just had no solution. He was killing the Wizards even when they went big. Even when the biggest possible lineup they can play is Markieff and Gortat in the front court. But even when those two played, JV would just catch the ball and just finish easily over them. It was kind of ridiculous how little rim protection the Wizards are offering. But when they go small, like, JV should be able to go inside and score like whenever he wants to. And so personally, you know, I think I probably would have gone back to JV, because JV was playing so well. The whole starting unit as a whole was playing really well. But I understand what Casey was doing with trying to stay small. I mean, the Bebe thing, Bebe has the kind of length to kind of close out or whatever. But ultimately, Bebe, I mean, he was a minus 19 today in 5 minutes, and he had 5 fouls in that stretch. He somehow passed up an alley-oop pass into a turnover, which, and then he got blocked at the rim by John Wall. It was a disastrous outing from Bebe. Like, as good as he was in game one, he was terrible in game two. But I still think Dwayne found the right combination down the stretch, though, because I like the fact that he closed with Ibaka center. Made a lot of sense, because, you know, you need a guy who can, you know, protect the basket. But with Miles out there, and also with DeLon Wright, I mean, DeLon Wright has just been a revelation in this entire series. And DeLon was coming up with plays. I mean, he blocked John Wall going straight to the basket. John Wall went past him, got the shoulders past DeLon Wright, blocked him at the rim. You rarely see that. And, you know, on a night where the Raptors really needed someone to stop John Wall for even just like 2 or 3 possessions, that's where DeLon Wright stepped up.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ibaka there, man. A ridiculous plus 32 he was in 31 minutes. And what stuck out for me is that he played all areas of the court in defense. The shot blocking is just a given at this point. The rebounding is always there. But the Wizards tried to get him in these switches where he was defending a guard up top. I think he had Wall or Beal on him a couple times. And in every instance that I recall, he came out on top, other than that lost jump ball, which was a bit weird.
Right.
I think his defense on switches against smaller guards was one of the reasons that the Raptors came out with this win, because he was guarding those guards when the game was, you know, between 5 and 8 points kind of hanging in the balance, and the Wizards had the momentum. Ibaka was on Wall. Wall tried to break him down. Ibaka held his own, and we got the ball back, and we scored the other end. I think those were key plays, key defensive plays, which may not show up on the box score, but Ibaka, I think, had a lot to say there.
Yeah, for sure. Especially his defense, I mean, his defense against Bradley Beal on those switches was probably the most impressive thing. I don't know what it was with Bradley Beal today. Like, he was, like I said earlier, he was unspeakably bad. But the fact that Ibaka can, like, move his feet, the fact that, you know, all this rest in the playoffs, he does look like a different person. He didn't get necessarily the same looks on offense like he did in game one. Like, he had, you know, 23 points on 8 of 11 shooting. But defensively, Ibaka did everything he wanted from him tonight. And this is kind of why the Raptors got him, right? Like, this is the sort of in-between piece where, you know, he can do something for you, like, defensively and guard multiple positions, but at the same time, he can give you something on offense, give you a measure of floor stretch where, you know, the rest of the front court guys just don't give you. And on a night like this, I mean, yeah, the Raptors didn't have much trouble scoring, but on a lot of those DeRozan drives, you know, the Wizards can't help in the paint as much because Ibaka's pulling someone to the perimeter, so... I don't know, man. I just think there's a couple things we can worry about going forward. I mean, I think maybe I'm just a little bit, you know, too hesitant on that front. Like, I have to think that way, but
Before we go there, Will, though, at this point, do you feel comfortable handing out that coveted second star to Ibaka?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. I thought so. I mean, look, you needed Ibaka to take care of the defense for you down the stretch, and he did that. So definitely on the second star.
Okay, now that we have those points covered off, we can move on. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, let's talk about John Wall a little bit. To me, I don't think we have an answer for John Wall. We can try to put OG on him and slow him down a little bit, but the guy is just too quick with the ball. I think he might be the quickest guy in the NBA with the ball in his hand. I don't know. That might be a dumb statement, but I always felt that with the ball in the hand, he's up there.
For sure.
And the Raptors do not really have an answer for him. What the Wizards do like to do is what we saw them do today is kind of separate the court in two and play almost like a 2-on-2 game on one side of the court, get a big involved and get Wall into that, you know, maybe 15 to 20 feet area for a jumper, which he's nailing these days. And that's very effective for them. The Raptors, I think, responded a little late to that. They finally sent help in the form of a double or a show later in the game. But generally, the Wizards had a lot of success in that 2-on-2 situation. And I think that's something we maybe don't have to concede, but we shouldn't expect to stop it too much. But when you look at the rest of the Wizards' role players, other than Ty Lawson, I think... Scott, again, you know, got off the bench 27 minutes and 20 points. Like, the guy is just killing it, again, from 3, 4 for 5. You know, Oubre Jr., again, he had a good third quarter there where the Wizards kind of came back.
Right.
But overall, I felt the Wizards bench had a better game than game one, but they still... You know, just like the Wizards thought the Raptors' three-point shooting was a bit of an anomaly in Game 1, I felt the Wizards' bench production in Game 2 was something that they can't maybe sustain over the course of a long series.
Yeah, I don't think the Raptors were prepared for Ty Lawson coming to this game. And I thought Ty Lawson had a profound impact in terms of both him playing on the ball and off the ball. Defensively, like, Ty Lawson is going to be an issue, but this is not the same Ty Lawson that we saw in 2016, or at least it didn't look like it tonight, where he's slimmer than before. He was consistently, you know, getting by our guys, and he would get to the basket, and all of Mahimni's baskets are pretty much a result of Ty Lawson collapsing the defense and him and you know, him finding Mahimni, and, like, you know, Ty Lawson also hit the three from the outside, which, you know, he's been an okay shooter, but still, I mean, he had a lot of open looks, and he made them, which is going to be an issue. The Raptors have to actually respect his shot. And I think the Wizards, they had their most success today going small. And part of that is by necessity. Like, Gortat was just completely terrible. And Mahimni, you just can't play him that much anyway. And so they went small, and they had some success with it. But, you know, I think the Raptors have the type of pieces to adjust to teams playing small. Like, you know, it helps to have a variety of bigs that you can play in these scenarios. Like, it helps to have, you know, if the Wizards go soft, for example, the Raptors not only have a lot of bigs, they have a lot of guards, right? Like, you could play DeLon Wright at three. You could play CJ Miles at four, especially if it's a guy like, you know, Mike Scott or Marquise Morris, who, you know, they're pretty much just going to shoot a jump shot. They're not really going to do too much else.
Yeah.
And so as long as you put someone roughly similar in size to contest, you're going to be okay. And the real issue with that is that if you space the floor, there's no help against John Wall, and he can kind of one-on-one break down a guy and get to the rim and get some calls. And he definitely got some calls today, 11 free throws. I mean, he complained about it, and he got some free throws. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, the Raptors are kind of built to withstand some of that. It's just, we'll see what happens when Bradley Beal and the Gortat are not completely awful, but I don't know. I just think the Raptors are a better team, right? I mean, that's what it looks like to you, right?
I think so. I think with the guarding their guards is a bit of an issue. I think we have to acknowledge that, and we have to get better at that. I think Game 3 is all about how do we, because over the course of the first two games, they've shown we can't stop John Wall, and now we have Ty Lawson to deal with. Game 3, we can't have that pattern continue. I think Lawson definitely needs to be controlled a little. Yes, they're the better team, 100%, but there is some very specific items for improvement for Game 3 that the Raptors have to work on, and it has to do entirely with perimeter defense. Are they over-committing themselves on defense a little bit, allowing for dribble penetration? Maybe. Should they be giving John Wall space for the jumper? Maybe, but he is hitting them, so I don't know what you can do there. I think the guy maybe you got to give space to is the former Shandong star. But overall, I don't know. I think perimeter defense is something they got to work on. And I don't think they're conceding. I guess they are conceding dribble penetration in one-on-one situations too, especially in the second half. You saw DeLon Wright get broken down. OG got broken down. Lowry got broken down. So that they got to get better. Maybe that's fatigue. I think Lowry had to work a lot harder in this game guarding Lawson and Wall than he had in game one, so maybe that had a factor on his defense. I don't know, but definitely the main item for improvement going into game three is perimeter guard defense and what Casey does. Does he help sooner? Does he get the ball out of John Wall's hand? Does he send help sooner? Does he leave JV in there more to get shot blocking so that there's no more easy layups? There are things that Casey can do to handle that guard penetration. Let's just see what it is. But it's definitely a known issue at this point.
Yeah, for sure. But I also think I don't want Dwayne Casey to overreact to anything like this, right? Because, like, the Raptors still have a big advantage. I think the depth is really, really starting to show in this game because, you know, Washington played basically the same lineup for, like, almost 18 straight minutes from, like, the third quarter. Like, I don't feel like John Wall even sat in the fourth quarter until, like, the game was over. And so, there's going to be some wear and tear. I don't know how many of those games you can consistently go hard for 40, 45 minutes. It just seems kind of implausible, especially since he just came back from injury. But, you know, I don't think the Raptors should sell out too much in terms of what they did defensively, because I also think that this is also a case where the Wizards kind of made some shots. Like, and they got some calls, too. Like, the fact that the Wizards, you know, they shot 28 free throws, like, that's a big bump from the first game. And look, the Raptors shot a lot of free throws too, but it was pretty clear the Wizards are playing pretty much bad defense throughout most of the game. But, you know, like, I just don't know how many more times you'll have Ty Lawson shooting 4 or 5 or Mike Scott. I mean, Mike Scott hasn't missed a shot this whole series. He's shooting 14 of 20 from the field, and they're mostly jumpers. It's been pretty crazy. But, I don't think the Raptors have to overreact too much to the dribble penetration thing, because the Raptors I just don't want Casey to fall in that pattern where he starts, like, going as small as possible to match the opponent, because while that works sometimes, the Raptors still have a big advantage. And like JV, I mean, a big part of the Raptors' 44 points in the first quarter, and also just the fact that they had 130 points in the night, was because JV, they gave the ball to JV in the middle of the floor, and he just scored at will.
Yeah.
And, you know, like they can't forget about that. I'm not saying we should play JV all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But Casey, I hope he doesn't forget about that part, because
And you know,
It's a big weapon for us.
you know, as much as the three is important in the NBA, I think you got to dominate the paint. And the Raptors, again, 50, 44 points in the paint advantage. And more importantly, even the rebounding, once again, just solid, man. 48, 34. That's a plus 14 in a playoff game. That's huge.
Yeah.
Plus five on the offensive glass, 9-4. So this stat right here is all courtesy of Ibaka and JV. And I don't know what the fourth quarter rebounds look like necessarily, but just controlling the boards and not giving the Wizards already efficient offense, shooting 49% second chances, you know, has a lot to do with it. And our bigs, as much as we give credit to DeRozan and Lowry, you know, JV and Ibaka have been massive in terms of controlling the glass. And once you control the glass, you know, you can argue control the game.
Yeah, for sure. And look, the Raptors, they didn't even shoot that well from three, like 13 of 35. Is a very average game for the Raptors from three, but they still scored 130 points. And the reason for that is because, well, one, the Wizards were playing really sloppy defense, but the Raptors just had such an advantage on the inside. They kept getting fouled around the rim because the Wizards were too small. Like they had no choice but to go small. But then when you go small, you have no rim protection and you're giving up a lot of free throws because you can't rebound, you can't, you know, defend at the rim. And you know, the Raptors, I just think they're the better team. That's all. I think the Raptors can play different styles, and they've shown it, but it's good.
The flagrant foul on Ibaka, I love the 90s NBA. I love the physical style, but that was a dangerous foul, man, because that was arms straight on his chest while he's in the air. To me, that's a higher level of flagrant than what they gave, honestly, because that could have caused some serious injury if he had lost his balance.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, it's worse than the one that where Mike Scott like shoulder tackled Kyle Lowry in game one. You know, I've just got to retaliate at some point, but
And
it's looking good for us.
And your point about the Wizards getting some calls, I think that has to do a little bit with John Wall's comments between games one and two. There is one particular call, but I think Poeltl got called for a a foul.
It
was right in the circle, and you know, I think Jack Armstrong made a point to call that out as well.
I don't want to play conspiracy theories or anything. It's just I think sometimes when the game is so clearly swinging for one team, you know, like calls don't necessarily get generously called in that team's favor for a while, and I don't know. It felt like for a solid stretch between the second and third quarter, there were just not a lot of foul calls going for the Raptors, and a lot of them were going favorable for the Wizards, but I don't know, the Raptors just had a response.
And it had an impact in the game, too, because in the second quarter, the Raptors got into the penalty very early.
Yeah,
and the Wizards got a lot of freebies there in that last 4 or 5 minutes of the second quarter when they managed to kind of get the game a little closer, and that really had to do with the calls earlier in the quarter, which were kind of non-calls, and it almost had an impact on the game.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the Raptors just had a response. I like the way that they played with pace. Like that's where I think Kyle Lowry's like effect on this game is a little bit understated. I mean, you know, you could look at the fact that he only had 13 points and, you know, and he only made one three. It's a bit concerning that Lowry hasn't got the three ball working yet in the playoffs. You know, I don't want to, you know, refer to previous year's trends, but I mean, it has that sort of issue has played out in the past. But the way Lowry has set the pace for the Raptors, like, the Raptors are the best when they play fast. And Washington tries to play fast a little bit too. And they like to play fast because of John Wall, but John Wall's really the only guy in the Wizards that can play fast. The rest of them don't really do that well. And the Raptors, if they want to play an open-paced game, the Raptors are going to crush them. And that's what the Raptors, even though the Wizards got a couple of those free throws, Raptors were still running, even off of, you know, made free throw, running, getting a good open shot. And I don't know, the Wizards just looked really, really out of shape and, you know, disheveled in the first half. They responded, which is nice of them. And honestly, they really could have delivered a psychological blow. Actually just completed that comeback, but the Raptors, you know, that was very encouraging to see DeMar, to see Kyle, and to see a Serge step up.
So tough question time, Will. We got one star to give away, and we got some strong candidates here, man. We got JV with 19 points and 14 rebounds. Got DeLon Wright with some big shots again, 11 points on 3 of 9 shooting. And you also have C.J. Miles as a contender, 18 points on 5 of 7 shooting, 4 for 6 from 3, including that 3 you mentioned, which got the lead from 5 to 8, which I think was it happened around the 5-minute mark, I want to say, around that time, and it gave us a massive, massive you know, breathing room there. And you said it followed up with the DeLon Wright block, and then two more, and then it came to 10, and that was the it for the Wizards, really. But C.J. Miles with that massive three, so third star.
Man, this is tough. I feel bad because, like, Jamie should really get the third star. He should really, really get it. But the fact that C.J. hit that shot, and the moment that he hit the shot, you got to give it to C.J. in that moment. That's all. And it's not fair to see. It's not, honestly, JV, any other night, 19 points, 14 rebounds in 23 minutes is
okay,
insane.
So let me,
he also plus 27.
Let me ask you a follow-up question on that one. Okay, so if CJ Miles had 18 points, so if JV had the game he had, exactly, and CJ Miles had only 3 points in the game, but those 3 points were that shot, would you still give it to CJ Miles?
Honestly, it was a very important...
Will's a fan of small sample sizes, apparently. Okay, let's move on because this is a post game podcast and we got to wrap it up pretty soon. And now it's time for the Gerald Henderson Award, and I think the reigning champ in there is Mike Scott, but there's some strong contention from the former Shandong star. I just saying Shandong.
Yeah, Shandong is It's a nice place, I guess. I don't know. It's
You've
not
been
one of China's top cities, I would say, which is
You've
strange.
Been there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, no?
No.
Hmm.
No.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I got to ask Ty Lawson, like, what's going on when in Shandong.
Is that what it is?
He came back from China. Like, he's probably still jet lagged, right? It's only been, like, 3-4 days. It's just, like, a 12-hour change.
You think he took economy?
No, but I mean, still, it's just the world is very big, Zorai. I mean, no matter what kind of plane he took, it takes a long time to come here. There's a lot of time changing, jet lag. I don't know. Ty Lawson, yeah, I think Ty Lawson gets it over Mike Scott.
Hey,
I think Mike Scott is. Yeah?
So congratulations to Ty Lawson for getting the award. Hey, do you think, do people still like, do planes like hop over the globe when they have to cross a different part of the world? Or is that just in my head that happens? Does that really happen? Like, do you go like from across the North Pole? Like, if you want to go to
the... They do.
They do?
They do. Yeah.
Really? So like, what two cities do you have to travel for you to go over the North Pole? Any ideas? Any guesses?
I've taken that Beijing. I've taken both the Beijing flight to Toronto and also the Shanghai flight to Toronto, and I think both of them. Yeah, you cross over to the north. Like you can see like on the in-flight map.
Yeah.
They're like going over the North Pole, and
oh, nice.
Like you're going over like Russia, and then you're coming like across like the north of Canada, basically.
Yeah. Take that, flat earthers.
Exactly. Exactly, Kyrie.
Hey, which of the Wizards is the most likeliest to be a flat earther?
Oh man, this is tough because I feel like the whole team is like very jaded. Mike Scott has like a, I don't know what Mike Scott believes in, but he has like 16 different emojis tattooed on his body. Like the real chance he could believe Earth is flat.
I gotta go with Jan Mahinmi.
Okay, surprise one. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
The Frenchman.
Yeah, I think the European education maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't explain it beyond. Yeah, Jan Mahinmi, the flat earther.
Jeez.
Let's start the rumor right now.
Remember when Jan Mahinmi scored 25 points in that game 6 of the Wizards or the Pacers series?
No.
I do. There's a lot of weird former Pacers in this series, like Ty Lawson, Mahinmi, CJ Miles.
Yeah.
Half the bench.
Yeah.
No Solomon Hill, though.
All right, Will, I think it's time to wrap it up. We're like 25, 26 minutes in. Listener.
Okay.
We'll be back after Game 3, which is on Friday night in Washington. The Raptors will look to go up 3-0 in the series. But until then, enjoy the 2-0 series lead, and we'll see you Friday. Bye.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.